The Holy Gospel is from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am king. And for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. I probably was the cause of the rattling of that microphone. Apologize for that. It just reminds me of the pastor who was struggling with a wireless mic and played with it a little bit and said, "There seems to be a problem with the microphone." And the congregation responded, "And also with you." So that's kind of the place I find myself today. And also, I thought before formally starting, I would just say a word of thanks. It's been an honor and a privilege to be able to be here as interim pastor. And from this point, I give thanks to God for the chance to have preached here. And I will continue to remember this position and this view. And give thanks to God for this time together. Dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, revealed to us through the Holy Spirit and in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Purple Rain, you maybe thought it was going to be a sermon on rock music. Not the case. R-E-I-G-N. Today, as Pastor Dean has mentioned, is Christ the King Sunday. Sometimes for many reasons, but I think for inclusivity, for a better understanding of those of us in the Western Hemisphere, Northern Western part of the world, and in the Northern Hemisphere, we maybe don't identify with kings as much as maybe some of our European brothers and sisters. So we talk about the reign of Christ. I've used this. I don't know if I've just absorbed this incorrectly, but sometimes I've even heard the sovereignty of Christ Day as we come to this end of the liturgical year. There's been a time in my ministry where I would, at this point, pull out a little party cap, have a little blowing whistle for New Year's Eve, kind of a celebration, because it is New Year's Eve in the church for us. A chance to look back on these 52 weeks, and now next Sunday with the new year of Advent 1 leading us into a new liturgical calendar, be able to give thanks to God for that opportunity to celebrate a new year. One of our council members, we were visiting at one point earlier in my 11 months here, and found out that council member was a freshman at Gustavus College when I was doing my internship there some years ago. And in that time, that year when I was there, we had a visit to Gustavus from the King of Sweden. And I want to tell you, on behalf of one Norwegian, I was really underwhelmed by this journey. But it wasn't so much the Norwegian-Swedish thing, because I got a little Swede in me too, but it was this whole circumstance of this king coming into Christ Chapel. And for that day at least, I don't think we really should have called it Christ Chapel, because it was the King's Chapel that day. And I struggled with how to relate there. The question came to me from, I don't know if it was our Secret Service or the King's Secret Service, asking, "Who are you?" And I identified myself, but my rebellious time coming in from about 90 days earlier, coming in from Berkeley, California, had a little edge to me and wanted to say, "And who are you?" But I wasn't so sassy then, and I knew who he was, so I didn't have to ask who he was. But it made a real clear circumstance. There was a human king within that day and that experience. Wonderful celebration. coming from the Twin Cities, first of all, with the Swedes in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and then coming down to St. Peter for that time of celebration. It was a day that was a great time, but it was not purple rain. It was a human circumstance. And today we have the reign of Christ, and we have purple representing the royalty of Jesus that comes to us. Now, many of us in this room are experienced and have had enough life to remember when our Advent colors were purple. The same Advent colors and usually the same pyramids were used for Advent as the season of Lent. And rightfully so, decades ago, we went to both blue or purple could be used during the season of Advent, and then now most places, in fact, all the places I've been in the last couple of decades, have used blue for the season of Advent. I think it's a wonderful thing for the season of Advent, but I think we also lose something within that. We lose the sense of it being a part of the reign of Christ, the purple rain. The rain where it shows us that this Christ that we look for, this Advent that we anticipate, also has a message of moving to the cross. And for us, and for me and my daughter yesterday, a wonderful text, 27 days till we're coming home from Arizona for Christmas. Great thing to hear from her. But it reminds us that it becomes a focal point to Christmas season, and maybe doesn't give us the amount of emphasis for the season of Advent. And as we move ourselves into that, thanks be to God. Well, a pastor got tired of fighting with himself and with other people trying to keep Advent, and moving it right up through the 4 weeks of Advent and then Christmas, and decided, well, I know what I'll do. I'm going to start at 2 weeks early. And it works pretty well. If you read, and along with our reader, the Daniel text, it's an end time focus. It's like the first week of Advent is. It's got Advent themes within it of stay awake, stay alert, keep those lamps trimmed and burning. All of those kinds of Advent messages that we will hear in the season of Advent are there for us this week and in previous weeks. In our Revised Common Lectionary. And so we have that opportunity to focus upon that. Well, he decided to move it up 2 weeks and then have the 2 weeks of Advent in the first 2 weeks, and then let a prelude to Christmas be for what we would call 3 and 4 of Advent. And in that experience, he said, and I'll tell you how it goes. And he came back and reported to us, I wouldn't recommend it. It didn't go so good. It wasn't all that well received. And so he had that experience, but the point was, is to give the season it. So we give today Christ the King. We give today the sovereignty of Christ. We give today the reign of Christ. And then we look forward to the new year in the season of Advent. Well, Pilate and Jesus are having conversation in our gospel reading today. And in that we see conversation about king and kingdom, and what does that mean, and what does it mean to be for Jesus there to be talking about being handed over to the Jews. It's interesting that for the culmination of the church year, 52 weeks, it seems to me in my little human pea brain, I would have thought maybe at the end of Matthew would have been the gospel, the ascension, and go make disciples of all the world. Of all the world, the Great Commission would have been a great one. But here, those that put the lectionary together have a message of passion of Christ, the narrative, the story of Jesus moving to the cross. And right in the heart of that is this conversation that Pilate and Jesus have, and testifying to the truth and saying about whether he's a king and king of who. And I'm not a Jew, am I? Pilate says. And that whole conversation shows us that Pilate and Jesus are speaking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like, we hear in the New Testament, the kingdom of heaven is like one that sows grain And we have that message and all the different kinds of stories that we think of in Jesus' ministry, in his public ministry, and also in his resurrection time of proclaiming the message of what it is like. Peace be with you is a strong message that the resurrection has for us. And Christ, in showing himself to individuals after the resurrection, gives a message of peace and of hope and life for people that he comes in contact with. And it's in that sense that we see Pilate there arriving and giving us life and hope. Christ brings the kingdom. The culmination of this year is that Christ brings the kingdom to us and has a life and hope, and that is portrayed in our Revelation text where the words say, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was, who is, and who is to come." We give thanks to God for the message from that. Pretty hard to not think about the cross when you think of Calvary's sanctuary. Even last night, as now the afternoon worship service is pretty much starting in dark at 5:30, and you come through and the cross is lit up for us to view. And it is a cross of the resurrection. It is an empty cross, a cross that shows that the body of Christ, symbolized by the empty cross, is resurrected and alive and out there reigning with Almighty God and the Holy Spirit as the Holy Trinity. But I always think of, with the resurrection cross, we probably miss something if we don't oftentimes bring the message of Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, with us as well. The body of Christ is sure emphasized in our gospel reading, where Jesus is there before Pilate, prepared to die, seemingly the worst possible thing that could happen to the Son of God incarnate, who comes as a Christ child and grows and dies at the hands of his own people. And we see that that became the greatest thing that we receive as a gift of eternal life that comes to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus our Lord. But for me, in recent years, I suppose it's almost a decade now, for me the emphasis has been that the body of Christ may not be visible on the resurrection cross, and that's for obvious reasons, but I think the body of Christ is so visible in the church active as we see you, as we use the term. And it's more than just a symbolic representation when we speak of the body of Christ as the people of God. The body of Christ as what we celebrate at Holy Communion, where we have with the saints of all times, past, present, and future, being the ones that we are aware and are thankful for and we see represented for the body of Christ. Because when the individual is hurting, when the individual is sad, when the individual is grieving, as you experience your family and friends throughout the days, weeks, and months of each liturgical calendar, you, as the body of Christ, are the ones that speak to them and give hope to them. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And in that proclamation, we see the Word as the living Word, the Logos, the Christ that is there alive through the people of faith. Thanks be to God for the body of Christ. Thank you for being the body of Christ to me. I give thanks for this opportunity. Blessings to you. Take the gifts that God has given you and share them with the world. Go in Christ's peace. Amen.